Good morning. It is truly an honor to be with you today, and I apologize the fact that you had to be a Sunday without Pastor Athel. And he's become a dear friend of mine in the last year or so that he has been with you all. And I just want to say thank you so much for your partnership with us. You have no idea what it means to be someone on the front lines doing some crazy stuff for Jesus, thinking it's and sometimes you feel like you're just smashing your skull on the wall. And you're like, am I doing the right thing? We're not getting anywhere. No one's responding. And we're not growing. And there's no money. There's no nothing. And but when there's someone behind you saying, you know what? You got this thing. It is though God has sent just a special breath from his presence as you all pat us on the back and say, you got this. You can do this. You can do this. And so thank you so much for the blessing and the encouragement that you all are to us. And I've been a couple times throughout the week to a prayer meeting that's in the morning times and spent some time with some of you. So I've met some of you all. And thank you for letting me have been with you in those days. And thank you for letting me be with you this morning. And again, I'm not Pastor Athel, so I'm far less good of a preacher than he is. But it was I was able to meet with him in our building this morning before I left to come here and just pray with him. And it's just going to be a special time for our people this morning to have him there. And our people at Oak Tree Church, they're a little bit on the edge, a little raw, as it were, okay? And most of them have been formerly unbelievers or at least unchurched. And so they're coming into the whole God thing is new to them. And maybe how am I supposed to talk? How am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to wear? What am I not supposed to wear? Maybe type of thing. And we don't give them rules. We let God and the Holy Spirit work on their hearts. And he's doing that, and he's growing. And it's very a neat and a wonderful thing. But I just want to say thank you so much. And some of you had no idea about this partnership, but thank you so much for it. And just thank you to the church. Thank you to Pastor Athel, who's not here. But thank you particularly to Pastor Bob, and who is beginning his second career, and the one that God has really had in store for him from the beginning of time. And Bob, I don't even recall exactly how we met, but probably through our friend Nathan. And but Bob and I, our hearts just really clicked. And I think he had a heart for this wayward young man. And he thought, I better pray for David Cole. Poor guy. And so, and the poor church out there, they're stricken with David Cole. But Bob, you've been a major encouragement to me personally. Thank you. And I know you're a prayer warrior and an intercessor. You are a mighty warrior, and I appreciate that very much. And I'm excited to see what God has done here. And this church is greatly blessed in ways that you all probably have no idea. And God has been using Bob for many years to intercede and pray and to fight on his knees that God would save and keep what a wonderful church alive and going incredible ways. And so I know that the church has not always been the spot, but God has moved you here, and it's an incredible spot to be. You're the church on the hill, the city on the hill. Many, many years I drive by and said, that's a cool place for a church up there. And I'd see it up here, but never know what the church it was. And now I do. And what a wonderful blessing. And as I look around, I was telling Bob, I envy your building, you know. And we're in a community, at least Summit, where the median age where we're at is 34.1. So it's a lot of kids. And sports rules. And we could use a gym like this in great ways to help reach our community and see people come to Christ. So I'm envying your building. And but one day God will supply something like that for us. But we know he's doing what he's doing. But God is on the move, and he's doing amazing things. And I remind even our own people, Oak Tree Church is a church perched at the gates of hell, literally. It's like we are a life-saving station perched right by the precipice where people's lives are tumbling off and turning in hell, and we're just begging people, stop, don't go, don't go, don't go. That's what we're doing. If you would come to our church on Sunday morning, you probably would laugh and giggle at some of the things that people say and they do. And one particular guy this morning told me, I guess I'm supposed to be baptized. I'm like, really? Why is that? And he's probably in his late 30s. And he said, well, I was baptized as a kid, and then I got saved later on in life, which I'm not sure he truly did at that time, but I know he's at least prayed the prayer again since he's been with us, so I do believe he's a believer. I'm not sure which time. Only God knows. And he said, I guess I'm supposed to get baptized now after I'm saved, right? And I said, yes, we can do that. And so at that moment we were having that conversation, Pastor Athel walked up, and I told my friend, Jeff, let's meet this week and talk about that at Starbucks or something. And so that was neat. So that's a neat conversation. So you might see all kinds of interesting things. For those of you who know much about Lee Summit, you may not, we're in the northeast end of it. And there's a gigantic park, several hundred acres, that the city of Lee Summit built about 10 years ago. It's called Legacy Park. There's a fantastic community center that's there, and there's a workout facility there, and I work out there. I like to say every single day, but a couple times a week at least, and with the pure motive of A, getting to know people and spreading the news about Jesus, getting to know people that need Jesus, need to come to church. So that's my foremost reason. The second reason is for a little temple maintenance. This whole body's not aging well, so I need to do what I can do to do the best for it. So I work out there, but there are 25 or 26 soccer fields. There's several football fields, and there's probably about 20 or more baseball and softball fields that are there. And every weekend, every Saturday and every Sunday, there are thousands and thousands, no exaggeration, people there. Parents, kids, everything you can possibly imagine. And it is less than a quarter mile from where the building is that we are in. Probably 6 or 7 years ago, God began laying on my heart the need to start Oak Tree Church in Lee's Summit. At the exact intersection he put on my heart was 291 and Colburn Road. From that intersection, we are 3 miles east. He knew what he was doing. And there's a little old country church that had died there, and God had worked it out for us to begin our church there. And we're blessed to have a building. We truly are. If we had to rent a school building, for instance, in Lee Summit, it'd be at least $3,000 a month and maximum of 1 year in a school. So God has blessed us with a building. And you know, we struggle just to pay the bills there, but that's fine. God gave to us a building. Well, if we had to pay $3,000 more dollars a month, we might be in real trouble, okay? So, but God has put us there, and he's put us close to that park. And the community is young, and it's growing, and it's vibrant, and God's doing some cool stuff in the community. But for within a five-mile radius of us, there's over 21,000 people. Almost 22,000 people. And on any given Sunday, 91% or over 19,000 people are at home. 91% of the people in our community are unchurched. So you might think, why start a church in Lee Summit? There's a church in every corner, and there almost is, okay? And on our end of the spectrum, there's some churches out there, and not all of them are preaching Jesus. There's several that are not, and it's interesting the things that I hear out of them, but we don't throw any mud. We just love on people, and we move on, and we're trying to reach the lost people. And I always remind people, we're not here to take people from other churches. We're here to reach the lost people that need Jesus. They need to get themselves in church and their families in church. And a lot of times we hear people when they would say, now, why did you start coming to hang out with us? Well, we figured it's time. They all have little kids. They're getting to be, you know, elementary school. It's time for us to get our tail ends in church. And they usually don't use those exact words. They usually use a word that I shouldn't say in church or anywhere, actually. And I'm like, interesting that you did. Talk to pastors that way. But it's fine. And we're excited that God's bringing them to himself. And our area is dark. It's in the need of Jesus big time. And matter of fact, right where we live at, in the surrounding area of about, no kidding, half mile around us, there's two or three communities. And if you've ever driven that far down Colburn Road, it's almost to Lake Lotawanna, you'll know that it's an area where there's mansion after mansion after mansion, multiple million-dollar mansions after mansion. And that's our next-door neighbors, which is funny that we're there, okay? And right across the street from us is a community where I have three friends that live there, and we're reaching out to them. But the cheapest home that I've seen go up in that neighborhood has been for $775,000. So I'm raising money to move in there right now so we can park our corporate jet for our church out back. No. I'm not. And you know, they are not necessarily our target audience. We're not there to reach just the wealthy people. We're there to reach everyone, you know, and so that's what we are. And I'm not raising money for a private jet, but I think the pastor that did, God, didn't he $65 million jet? Wasn't it earlier in the summer? Interesting. Maybe I can just fly on it one time. I don't know. But I'd be happy if our lawnmower worked at our church, okay? But anyway, and we had 3.5 acres of land, and it's awesome, and we have a wonderful group of people that volunteer to mow it, and it's neat, okay? It's really neat. So that's the community that we're in, young families. And the member, the median age is 34.1, so that's lots of little children. So we know to reach that community, we've got to have a strong family ministries. We really do. My wife is not with me this morning because she's there leading the children's ministry, and I really wanted you to bring her, and you'd really understand the fact that she needs prayer. She settled for this, but she is a wonderful, godly, beautiful woman. And she should have known better, and she could have done better. Praise God, she didn't. It's her fault, not mine. But she is a blessing, and she does an awesome job of reaching these young people, these children. I have five sons. The oldest is 17, and 14, and then 12, and 9, and 6. Okay, my older three help with the children's ministry and do different things. My son plays the keyboard in the worship team, my oldest. So it's interesting. And my six-year-old, he's a charmer. He walks around and charming people and getting him donuts from the table and stuff. And so it's fun to have my whole family involved in doing ministry and serving Jesus. And so we're thrilled about what God is doing there. And so we know that 91% of people in our community are unchurched. And we average about 100, 105-ish people right now. And of that number, 80% come from unchurched backgrounds. Most of them will say, when I was a kid, I went to church. What they really mean, if you ask them, grandma dragged me to church when I was spending that with grandma, or something like that. And some of them can tell you they got saved at vacation Bible school, different ways like that. We're just thrilled that they come. And they come one by one, and they come with hurt, broken, wounded lives. And I remember I preached through a series on getting deliverance from your baggage, the bondage that you're in. And just a minute, I'm going to explain to you where the name Oak Tree Church comes from. And went through a series, and we preached on this passage in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. And I had young couple come to me, and it's a very sharp young businessman, very, very good-looking man, and his wife is tall, very beautiful woman, and they look like they have it all together, and she runs a medical clinic, and he runs another different medical clinic, and so they seem like they have it all together, but they came to me and said, he said, I'm here with her. She said, I have so many demons in my life, so many addictions, so many afflictions, things that drag me down. And this woman that you would never imagine, and she went through her drug addictions she has right now. She said, I come home from work about 5 o'clock, go in my bedroom, close the door. My kids don't know what's happening. She said, and I wake up the next morning. She said, the first thing I do is pull myself a bottle of vodka, and she held up a cup. She's drinking coffee out of. She said, more than this. I was like, whoa. And so it went on, her drug, she just vomited out before me. I'm like, wow, Jesus, what do I do with this? And so we pray with them, and we hold her hands and walk through, and she's telling me about the depression that she's in. And for a year, we've been walking this road for them. And it's neat to see the victories that are there. And so the accountability that's there, the prayer that's there, and that's one of many different stories. And so you may think that they have it all together, but they don't. They need Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all of life's issues. And so that's just one of the people. So the name of our church is Oak Tree Church, and it comes from a key passage in Isaiah 61. In the New Testament, when Jesus was just beginning his earthly ministry, he went to his hometown, Nazareth, and they welcomed him home. He's now, I guess, an official rabbi, as it were. So they brought him into the synagogue, and he could read. You can be the one that stands up today and does the, what did you call it, one and one? What'd you call it, Bob? Okay. So you come up today and read the passage and preach to us. So they brought him out the scroll, and they laid it before him. Now, predetermined, probably years before, if not 100 years before, the scriptural reading for that day, Jewish people have a very specific methodology that they use, and they read the Bible on certain days for certain things, and they opened the scroll, and they laid it there, and Jesus simply read the passage, and he read this passage. I'm going to read it to you. This is Isaiah 61. But after he read it, he said, today, in your hearing, is this passage fulfilled? Then they try to kill him. And that's a different story for a different day, right? So Isaiah 61, and this is where our church name comes from, and it describes our community. It's spectacular. I think it describes all mankind, really. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. We have no income. Our church, my wife and I, we raise our salary from outside the church. There's not enough money in offerings to give us anything at the moment, but that's fine. God lets us preach the gospel to people that don't know what tithing is or giving is or our offerings and things like that. And on a good day, they'll give God a good old tip. There you go, God. It's $5. And they really start growing in God, that $5 goes to $10. That's exciting. But we're not in it for the money. We're in it for Jesus, okay? He's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for those in captivity, and release from darkness for the prisoners. These people are in such awful bondage. These people, they have such incredible captivity in their life. Verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The stories I could tell you about the different ladies, who the sexual abuse they had when they were younger, and God bring the healing in my life. My wife walks with some of these ladies in that path, and prays and leads God's healing in their lives. and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The evil spirit of depression is so prevalent, and depression is so powerful in the lives of so many. And so, and I, as I preach this passage frequently to our people, whichever one this is, and you are one of them, and so are you and I this morning, my friends, Jesus is there for us, and he brings that to us. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. If you see right now, it's my wife's favorite time of the year when the leaves start changing colors. I say, I don't like it because they're dying. And they're falling. She says, no, but look, it's beautiful and it's red and it's gold and different colors that are there. And you see it, and especially the sun is hitting it right. It's breathtaking, isn't it? And that's what God's doing. God's taking these people's lives. He's taking my life. He's taking your life and planting them. And we'll water it, and we'll fertilize it, and we'll weed it, and we'll take care of it, and we'll protect it from predators and things that want to destroy it. That tree will grow. And as it grows, and the junk fades away from the former life, from the former thing of wounds, and all of a sudden, from what used to be this little sapling is now this spectacular giant tree that displays the glory of God. That's what God's doing in our midst with these people from this community that are unchurched. We're there to be faithful and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to hold their hands and walk through them through difficult days. One day a lady showed up and she had never been in church since she was, I think, 6 years of age. And she said, I got a 13-year-old daughter and says, Mommy, why don't we go to church? So I said, let's go to church. And she's a biker lady. And she can show you some tattoos that make you blush, okay? And along the road, eventually on Father's Day, about 6 months later, her husband showed up. And he was not happy to be there, and he's a big, grumpy guy. And I didn't want to cross him because I knew if I had to fight him, I might not win. I had no prayer winning. He looked like he'd be a lineman for the Chiefs, all right? And so about 3 months later, out of the blue, one morning, he just up and died. He was in his lower 50s. She was in her mid-30s, okay? And she called me, what do I do? And she didn't even call. I happened to notice on Facebook. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I just drove to her house, and she said, what do I do? And she said, you're the first person that showed up. I put on Facebook and people saying things like crazy, but you're the only person to show up. And I'm like, well, I'm with you. And so I did the funeral. And what a funeral it was. It was 500 biker guys in there, and they were raucous, and they were crazy, and they tolerated my Jesus. But I gave them the gospel down the middle. I did not call any shots, and I was fearless as I stood there to deliver that for Jesus, knowing that, all right, this is the den of Satan, but Jesus is here. And his light's going to go forth. And on the way out, one old biker guy, and I mean old, he had a big old beard and, you know, and the cool-looking vest and all that stuff. He grabbed my hand and says, good word today, young man. Don't you stop. And I could tell, and that was neat, because he said, these are my friends, and we're shining the light of Jesus to them. So walking life with that dear lady ever since that day and trying to be there for her. And he left her this big house that's in a mess. And we've sent people over to do different things for her, and to patch the leaks in the ceiling, to paint it, to cut the grass, to get rid of the poison ivy, 1,000 different things that seem like they're a lot of little minutia, but it gives our people who sit in the pews every week that are just learning about Jesus, they're getting out and they're exercising the gifts that God's given them and they're serving. That's neat. Some of them may not even know Jesus yet, but that is serving this dear widow. And I tell our people, from James chapter 1, is it verse 27 or 8? I believe, I forget the exact verse. Pure religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. So we love on that dear young widow. And she doesn't know what in the world life was all about. And he left her in financial craziness, but he had every toy you can imagine. There's a race car in the basement. He had a diesel out back that he pulled that race car with, and different cars and motorcycles and four-wheelers and things that would boggle your mind that he had. And one by one, she's selling them. And it's neat to see how God is blessing, providing for her. And we pray with her, and we hold her hand, and we're with her, and we cry with her in the weak moments and stuff. And so that is one person that God's brought to us. But I want to tell you one person specifically. When we were just getting ready to start about 2.5 years ago, and I should tell you my whole background. I'm from Kansas City, born and raised in Independence, Missouri. And at the day I graduated from high school, I began working on the staff full-time for Kansas City Youth for Christ. And some of you may remember them. And Channel 50 TV, some of you all may remember that for more than just a few years ago. So from the day I graduated until 1997, I worked with them. And then I moved to Atlanta. My wife and I did, newly married, and we're going to help two of my friends plant a church in Atlanta, Georgia, of all places. And so we went there, and it grew. And it was an exciting place. It was kind of like going to maybe Green Valley or Oak Grove in those days. And it was the 10th fastest growing county in all of America. And basically for Atlanta, it was the cheapest place where the houses were left to be built. So people were moving to that area like crazy. So we started church and it grew big and it grew fast and it's 5,000 people. And it's going amazing. But God had a place in my heart for my people, as it were. And sometimes my wife, even this day, she doesn't understand what that means because I can be really sentimental. She's not. Matter of fact, she didn't even buy a wedding dress. I said, "Don't, you're not going to buy a wedding dress? Why not?" She said, "I'll rent one." So she rented it. And I'm like, "Oh, this is awful. This is awful." Yeah. No, she said, "You can buy it." I'm like, "Well, I don't got the, you know, $2,000. So they rented it. But I'm the sentimental one. And I knew in my heart, God was calling me to reach my people. And when I came home, Independence has changed from what it once was. And the people from Independence have migrated, my age, have migrated to Blue Springs and to Lee Summit. And really to Lee Summit primarily. Most of my friends from high school, they're in the Lee Summit area. And God began putting it in my heart for many, many years. And I kept telling my wife, "It's time. It's time for us to go back to Kansas City. We need to go to Lee Summit. We need to start Oak Tree Church." She's like, I don't think so. I don't think so." And I was chomping at the bits. "I need to go. I need to go. I need to go." And God's put this in my heart. And she didn't want to leave Georgia. The winters are nicer in Georgia, you know, ladies. Okay, my wife does not like the cold. All right. And the summers are longer. It's about 6 months of summer, really. And so my sons didn't want to leave. They're purebred, born and raised Southern boys. Okay. And they don't fly the rebel flag because that's not cool, but they would like to. But the because it's they're Southern boys, okay, and they love the South, and they have many friends there, and they didn't want to leave. But eventually, God put us in a place where it was time to go. And I was so excited, and we came home, and when we finally started Oak Tree Church, I was so excited. And so I tell my people every now and then, it'll be a low Sunday, maybe 70 people or something there, and I'll look around and say, "You know what? Not having a good week." I'm thinking, at the church in Georgia, they got more people in the restroom right now than we have in our whole building, okay? You know, their budget for their toilet paper is greater than our church for our whole church. And they'll laugh at me, and I'll say, "You know what? I could not be happier." And I mean, I've never been so fulfilled in my life to be here among this people, reaching pagans for Jesus. They have called themselves pagans to me, so I said, "All right, you're pagan." So reaching pagans. But right when we were starting this, many years ago, when I was at Youth for Christ, the very first young man that I really worked closely with, and I basically discipled him, introduced him to Jesus, and then held his hand as he began growing in Jesus and stand beside him and help him read the Bible and live for God at school and invite his friends, the youth group and at Youth for Christ and stuff. His name was Chris. And he became like a little brother to me. And he graduated, and we kind of lost touch. And he wasn't in any good church. He wasn't in church at all. Matter of fact, since the days I forced him to go to church, he hasn't been in church. But I've been looking for Chris. And I always joke, and since Al Gore invented the internet, I've been trying to find my man Chris online. And I couldn't find him. I couldn't find him anywhere. I'm like, usually you can find anybody you're Googling, okay? And so I'm looking for him for years and years and years. And some of you all know what Facebook is. Some of you may have any idea. But through the magic of the internet, his mom, literally, the week before we're starting Oak Tree Church, she contacted me on Facebook, says, "Oh, what are you doing? Where are you at?" So I said, "Oh my gosh, so good to hear from you. I've been looking for Chris, your son, for so many years. I lost touch with him. Where's he at?" And I heard nothing. So a week and a half later, finally, I get a phone call from him. He says, "David Cole, what are you doing?" I said, "Chris Lang, oh my gosh, so good to hear your voice. I've been missing you, my friend." And so we're talking. He said, "Now, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm starting a church." "Where's that?" "It's in North Lee Summit." "Well, that's cool. Where exactly?" So I started describing it to him. Now remember, this is this old, dead country church. He says, "Well, that's my church. You've been going to that church for..." He says, "No." "What?" He says, "If you're there, that's my church." And I'm like, "Sure it is." He said, "Well, I live 2 miles from there and I drive past it, going to and from work every single day." And he said, "Tell you what, I'll come this Sunday." I'm like, "All right." Over the years, he had not been the most dependable guy, and he's supposed to meet me somewhere, and he didn't show up, so all right. Matter of fact, he called me one night at 3 in the morning and said, "Hey, would you do my wedding?" I'm like, "Sure." And I'm like, "Am I? What?" He says, "Did I wake you up?" He says, "Yes." "I'll call you tomorrow." And that was the last time I heard from him. You know, I'm like, okay. And apparently, he never got married to her, but anyway. So I showed up that Sunday. He said he would show up. Microphone. Sorry. So he came, and he brought his wife and his little girl, who's the same age as one of my sons. And eventually, his daughter came to Jesus, and his wife came to Jesus, and they're there every week. Now, my man had a few issues, okay? And he would call me usually on Sunday night, and he had had one or two or 10 cold ones. no kidding. And he'd talk to me, and he'd talk to me, and I'd kind of talk all the slur and do things. So I always joke with my wife, he's drinking and dialing again. Okay? And so one Sunday night, he called me. I think it was like Valentine's Day, and I had shared a marriage talk, okay? He called me, "Oh, Pastor Dave, thank you for that message tomorrow. And you blankety blank, blank, blanked it this morning." Well, thank you, I think. And blankety blank, 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 keep giving us that blankety blank, blank, blank. I said, "We need this stuff." I'm like, "Yes, you do." But you know what? Through the last couple of years, it's like interesting enough. As his wife came to Jesus, she said, "It's time to put the stuff down so much." And no longer does he drink and die. He may call me in the night, but he's completely sober and I can tell it. And it blesses my heart. And God is changing the lives of one after the other. Not just his, but guess what? His daughter and his wife now know Jesus. It's an amazing story. And they serve Jesus at our church. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And so that's just one of the many stories. There's another biker couple that showed up. And I don't know why we attract bikers, but we do some. Do I look like a biker? I don't got any tattoos or nothing, you know. And I don't ride a Harley. If I had a motorcycle, it'd be a dirt bike. Even though I do love motorcycles, I know if I rode them, I have a propensity to only ride them at maximum speed. And so I know I would, or for my kids, so I can't do that. But so this family showed up, this man and this wife, and they're a little older, and they show this woman, she's tough. She could beat up any biker guy I've ever seen in my life. And she's tough and she's mean. And I asked her why she came. Well, a friend invited her one day, and they came, and because I talked to them, and I actually didn't seem like offended by them or like they were weird, she said, "We thought we'd come back." She said, "Then other people started talking to us, and we just felt like this is home for us." Now, my wife and I joke, they are volunteer family number one, and she'll show you her tattoos. As a matter of fact, she got a Bible verse tattooed right on her forearm, and I'm like, if you would ask me, I would have recommended maybe not do it. But anyway, that's fine. Tattoos, it's a different generation. And the funny thing is, she'll give you a prayer request, and in that prayer request, you may have three or four or five four-letter words. And I'm like, this is a prayer request, all right. And so, but it's interesting, but I promise you, that lady and her husband, they would take a bullet for my wife and I. They become like family to us. And they love my sons like they're their sons. And on birthdays, our kids get presents and gifts and things. And they would be the last person to ever leave us in a crisis. And God has brought them to Jesus, and they're growing Jesus. And it's fantastic to see that happening. And it's not our doing. It's the God's doing. And he's making, out of all the three of these people and these couples that I've mentioned to you so far, beautiful oaks of righteousness for the display of his splendor. You know, when they go back to their world, and they may go to the den of iniquity, where they go, they're different now, and people are taking notice. And I always tell them, you need to be bringing people to Jesus, bringing people to church, sharing your faith about Jesus. And it's as simple as what they say in 1 Peter, be prepared to give an answer to anyone that asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. They said, why don't you do what you used to do anymore? Why don't you snort the lines anymore, or go smoke weed with us and break, or go get hammered with us on the weekends anymore, or run around your wife like you used to? Why not? They're going to notice. And when they ask you, I said, it's up to you what you say, but they are going to ask you. My challenge is for you to give them what Jesus has given to you. He's given you meaning in life. You can simply start by saying, well, I go to church now. Oh, you're one of them. I said, but you don't want them to think you just got religion, because your life has been changed. It's not you going to church and you got the good book and you put your Sunday go to meetings clothes on. Jesus changed your life, whether you're in church or not. I said, but be prepared to share it with them. You need Jesus. You need what I've found. And so I'm training them to be a group of missionaries. I said, you're not just coming. It's not just David Cole up here telling people about Jesus. You can bring them on church on Sunday. I'll give them Jesus. I said, but guess what? You're in their world. You have just as much right and authority before God to share Jesus with someone as I do. And this is not like an exalted position. This is just my role. And I'm here to train you to be warriors for Jesus out in the real world. And so it's been fun. It's been neat. And it's been exciting to hear that. And so as God does that, it's been fantastic. In 2 weeks from today, on the 15th, we're going to have a baptism service. We've got three people baptizing. And it's going to be fun. And after church, we're all going to hang out and we're going to have chili. And they'll make chili, and this will be beer chili. This will say, this is kick A chili. I'm like, oh, you know, and they name them. All right, it's up to you guys. You do what you're going to do. And they name them, and they have a competition who wins first place. And it's always interesting. I'm like, God, you've got this thing. God, these are your people. You know, and I don't preach against language or tattoos or anything and smoking. But, you know, piece by piece by piece, Jesus is getting hold of our lives, and he's doing things. And every now and then, somebody will send me a note. Would you pray for me? I'm trying to quit smoking, or I'm trying to quit doing the weed, or I'm trying to quit this. I'm trying to get off porn. I said, I'll pray with you. And they know that no one knows about it. Matter of fact, I'm so dumb at times, I don't even share things with my wife. And she's like, I need to know. And she's an amazing prayer warrior. And so my wife says, when I die, it's like the CIA is going to die because things that come to me and I'll never tell people stories. And I'm a trap of things that if I tell you some stories, it'll curdle your toes, right? But God's building a wonderful church, and I am so honored to be part of it. Now, I would like to see it growing faster and bigger and better and stronger, but it's not. And I tell our people, I said, I didn't come to build a church of 10,000 people or 5,000 people or even 1,000 people or even 500 people. I obeyed God to come reach people for Jesus Christ on Lake Summit, and he's doing it. And you know, there are people who say, well, there's churches all up and down the street. The closest church to us is about 3 miles away, and it specifically is a church that does not preach Jesus Christ. And there's two churches next to it that preach exactly what they do, and the Bible's a good book, but it's not really God's word. And Jesus, he is a son of God, the son of God, and different ways. And I'm like, I don't want to talk bad about them. But I remind people, guess what? There's no one here really reaching people. And so God has sent us here specifically this spot to reach people. And it's exciting. It's fun. It's thrilling. There was a day that my man Chris missed church on Sunday morning. Now, that's odd. And so that Sunday evening, we were having the youth group at church. And so I was dropping off my son. My oldest son at that time wasn't driving. He's driving now. And I dropped him off. And I thought, I'll leave the youth pastor alone, because I was for 25 years a youth pastor. Very large youth group, almost 1,000 young people every single week. And so I knew my youth guy's got 12 people, and I don't want to intimidate him. So I'm only going to step out. And so instead of going home, I turned the other direction. And I said, I'm going to go by, see my friend Chris. And I come down the street of their house, and they live in a particular lake community that's real tight-knit. And I came to their house, and their front yard is not even the size of the stage, for real. It's not even the size of the stage that I stand upon. And there were 50, 75 people in their yard, crammed in like crazy. What in the world? They had a fish fry going on. And I drove by I'm not going to stop. I'm going to embarrass them, because they all had beers and other things and stuff. And I don't want the pastor to come in and ruin their fun or whatever it was. And so one of them said, so, David Gall! What are you doing? Come here! So I stopped the car, and they came over and talked to me. He said, park it right here. Come on up. So I'm like, all right. So I parked the car, and I came up, and it was interesting. I had met most of these people. One by one, sometimes they visit the church, or I meet them on different days, whatever it is. And I met most of them, but not all of them. Every last one of them was hammered. I mean, I'm seeing the weed kind of go behind their back, and they're like, Master! These are some people who are in their upper 30s or 40s. Their kids are roaming the streets on bikes and scooters and skateboards, and they're pushing the beers a little further underneath the thing. Some of them are the ones who are too plastered, they don't care. Hey, you want a beer? I'm like, nah, I'm good. How about a soda? I'm fine. And so it was fun. It was a very fun thing that day. And it was one of those things I just knew in that moment that I got in my car, Jesus had sent me that day. And some of them came and gave me hugs, and some of them shook my hands, and they all slapped me on the back, and every one of them thanked me for coming. And I'm telling you, there was not anyone who's seeing straight that day. They would have been embarrassed if they realized what was going on. But I went around that day, and I just loved on every one of them. By the time I left, about a half hour later, I knew that God had sent me that day, and that from that day on, they've embraced me as one of their own. And one by one, Jesus is making changes in their lives. Some of those people have gotten saved since then. Some of them have just started cleaning up their lives since then. And I know the weed parties have stopped. And I think every now and then there's a little keg that might come out on the weekend over there. God's got all that under control. But he's bringing them out of drunkenness. He's bringing them off drugs. He's bringing them off running around their spouses. And the children are coming to Jesus, and they're going to avoid that stuff. Because when I start talking about this, I say, some of y'all are here just because you want your kids to not do the dumb things you did. And you'll see the heads like this. And it's usually the ones who've been into their worst stuff. And they're like, we don't want our kids to go down this road that we've gone down. And so I'm reminded, Jesus, thank you so much that you let me know you. Thank you that you put in my heart a gifting and a calling to represent you. And Jesus, don't let me drop this ball. Do not let me drop the ball. Yesterday, it was the last Saturday football game for all my sons. And three didn't play football. It was my 9-year-old. And it's the first year of tackle football for him. And earlier in the game, he almost had an interception. The ball came through it and right through his hands and smacked him in the face. And I said, oh, that would have been the best ending thing for his whole season if he would have caught that ball. And I asked him after the game. He said, yeah, it was a little harder than I was expected. He and I played catch in the backyard like crazy, and I threw it kind of soft. But so it went through his face mask and caught. And right towards the end of the game, as they were getting ready to score again, my son jumped out of nowhere again, and this time he caught that ball, and he came, and everything he could do to come down and to hang on to it, and then he did, his knee hit the ground. And once your knee hits the ground at that age, you're down. But he, if he could, if his knee hadn't touched the ground, he could run for a touchdown. That would have been the best day of his life. And he was, oh, why can't I get around that? I said, I'm excited you caught that ball. You didn't drop the ball. He said, the first time I did, but the second time I didn't. You're right. And I remind, Jesus, I'm not a young man anymore. And you put me in this place to start a church that's primarily a young man's thing where you need the energy and you need, your kids are younger and you can burn, go on afterburner for a lot longer. I'm not exactly the ideal age or picture perfect. You know, and I've decided I'm not going to lose my sons because of my involvement in the church. I'm going to make sure that I'm investing in them. I'm spending time with them. I try to be their coaches and reach out to them. And by the way, that's been a wonderful ministry for us to reach out to those guys. And there's one of the other coaches on my 9-year-old's team with me, and he's formerly a Mormon. He says, we're just thinking, what do we need? My wife's been on drugs like crazy. We got to get to church. I'm like, I can talk to you. And so all that comes up. So I'm not exactly the ideal age. My kids are not the ideal age for that, but God chose me, and I figure if he can speak through a donkey in the Old Testament, maybe he can use me a little, just maybe. But I just want to be faithful there. And God's built a team with us, built us a good team, and he's building his church in his way, in his time, and it's not about me at all. But I do want to say, what do we need for our church? We need right now, and join with me if you would, praying, we need to grow. And I tell our people almost every week right now for this fall, we need to grow. We need to grow spiritually primarily. A lot of y'all, you know Jesus now, but that's it. It's time for you to start growing in him, in your oak tree, to grow. We need to grow spiritually. Next, we need to grow numerically, which means we're reaching more lost people. We need to grow. We need to be reaching more people. And we need to grow financially. So you people who are giving $5, give a little bit more. Those of you who don't get anything, give $5. Okay, start somewhere. Because the church, we need to grow financially. And I keep missions before them constantly. We help with church plants, and we help with an orphanage in Guatemala that a friend of mine started. We help with ministry in Israel and ministry in Cuba and some different places. And I want them to know, we are not just here for us. We're here for the world. And so as God builds, I said, we need to grow. So pray for us to grow spiritually, numerically, and numerically not for the numbers, but because we're reaching lost people, and financially, because we need to pay some bills, okay? And what needs do we have? Number one is prayer. Number two is people. Would you pray for our leadership team? Our worship leader's wife in September, late August, I believe, she was having some medical tests, and that caused a heart attack. 39-year-old lady. And it caused a bad heart attack, and she went to the hospital, and she was fine from it. They said it didn't cause any permanent damage, but it caused her adrenaline system to go into shock. And so her heart rate's constant, like 160. It caused her to sleep all the time. If she stands up two or three out of the time, she stands up to go, even use the restroom, she'll pass out. Her blood pressure's out of whack. And so that's caused him to get out of pocket. Now, he's volunteering primarily, but she's been a nurse and been the primary breadwinner for the family, has enabled him to serve in this capacity. But all of a sudden, he's got to be Mr. Mom. He needs to babysit her and the 2-year-old child in the daytime, as well as he's gotten 2 full-time jobs as well. So that has really hurt the church. But the great thing is our church has really rallied around them and embraced them enormously with meals and helping with the kids, and giving them money. And people just randomly give me an envelope and I'll pass it to them. And it's been awesome. But pray for our team, if you would, okay? And we need a few more key team members. And the guy helping us with the youth is one of my buddies from middle school. We've been friends my whole life, and so he's helping us with that. But he's a little dog that can't learn new tricks, so I'm just kidding. But my man, he needs some help, and we need some people around him in the children's ministry. So pray for our leadership team, okay? And pray for our worship guy, he and his wife, for healing. And thank you for that. And I know some of you are real prayers. And we need resources, so pray for that. And we need chairs. And we have some chairs that are similar to y'all's, but they're on loan. And we need 125 chairs. And they're not cheap, by the way, for these chairs. They're about $50 each. So pray that God would provide for us some chairs. And our carpet is orange. The building was built in the mid-70s, and it's beautiful orange. And the carpet is still the original one. And if somebody comes into our building, it's anywhere from 28 to about 32, they say, oh, we love the carpet. But they're the only ones that say that, okay? And it's not like a big downer. And Pastor Bob has been there, and he's seen it. And it's not like you walk in and go, oh, my gosh. But you do walk in and say, orange carpet. And so we could use some carpet, and we could use a couple TVs to go on the wall, similar to what you have there for worship, and it'd be cheaper for us to do TVs than it would projector, and it would work for us. And we need a basketball goal. So there's a few things for you to pray specifically about: chairs, carpet, some TVs, and a basketball goal for outside. Okay? Now, I just want to put that out there, not asking you for anything, but just some of your prayers, and those are some prayer items for you, okay? So pray for that. So, and I want to say this. As long as I've known Pastor Bob, your church has been, was when we met, kind of in transition. It was before Pastor Applecombe had come to be your pastor. And I know this is a different age for some of you. And some of you have been with this church many years before it even moved to this location. And God's hand has been upon this church in so many different ways. And it's been awesome. But today is 2015, and it's a different day. My mom and my dad come to our church because they have to. My dad's become like my right arm in his retirement. And honestly, he is like an armor bearer for me, and it's amazing. And honestly, it's the, it's my crybaby. It's the best days of my life, my dad. And I mean, it's been awesome, okay? And then my mom comes, and she's like, "You're a good young man. We love you." Kiss me on the cheek. And she says, "Now I'm going to my church tonight and get some good music, okay?" But they have both told me, says, "This is a different age." And we know you need different music and different methods to reach the young people today. It's not about us. It's about this beautiful oak tree that God's building. It's not about us. So I want to encourage you to rally around Pastor Athel and Bob and the rest of the leadership team that's here. And not, I don't know anything's going wrong. But I know sometimes it may not be what you like. And a few of you probably would love to have an organ up here and the big pipes everywhere and the keyboard and the song leader does this for a change, you know, type of thing. That was a good era. Wasn't it wonderful? Wasn't it wonderful? And listen, I'm a unique bird because I can worship with hymns or I can worship with praise and worship, and I'm fine because I'm a hybrid. I'm born and raised in that era. But some of you prefer the organs and stuff and that you grew up with, and that's awesome. And my mom, she wants the organ really bad, and she doesn't like that electric guitar. It's too loud. And the drums, how can the drums be in the church, you know, and things like that. But that's okay. But I want to challenge, if you could, rally around Pastor Athel and help him and the rest of his church and reach this community. This community is probably not what it once was if you live around here. It's changing, this community. And that's great. That's wonderful. God's given you a fantastic opportunity to reach out. So rally around him. And my prayer is that I will be an encouragement and support to Pastor Athel and Pastor Bob and to the rest of y'all. And I can say, you go. Reach these people for Jesus. Reach them for Jesus. They desperately need him. And I want to say thank you so much a million times over for what you've done for us. My plan this morning was to preach a message from Joshua this morning. But God's brought too much other stuff to my mind that I feel like I want to share. You know, in the book of Revelation, talks about, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I want to just share the testimony this morning about what Jesus is doing. And hear this. It's him. It's not me. I'm a worthless piece of junk, bench warmer, washed up, has been. I'm nothing special. But I figure if God can speak through a donkey, maybe he can speak through me. God can use a little boy who's got five loaves and a couple fish. Maybe he can bless what I can give him. And you know what? We may never grow big and strong. That's not what we're here for. You know, I may eventually, the support resources we raise from outside to provide the salary for my wife and my kids, that may run out and I might have to work at Quick Trip or Walmart and be the greeter or something like that. You see me at Walmart, say hi. Or do something to earn a living. That's fine. You know, we burnt the ships, and we burnt the bridge, and we're committed, we're all in, and we're going all out for Jesus. Would you pray for us that God would bless Oak Tree Church, and it would be a great blessing for him? We are here for God to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness from the prisoners, to comfort those who are in mourning, to provide for those who are grieving, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a garment of despair, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the display of his splendor. And I think oak of righteousness is a beautiful Old Testament picture of what a New Testament disciple is supposed to be, as they grow, and God does awesome stuff, and Jesus radiates through them. And I always tell people, you need to be so full of Jesus. And every single Sunday, I say, read the Bible every day, read the Bible. And this younger generation, I said, read the Bible on your phone. Listen to it on the way to work. Get God's word in you. And you'll be so full of Jesus that when somebody rubs up against you at work, you're just going to ooze Jesus on them. They always laugh when I say that, but I mean it. Because the fuller that you are of Jesus, the more he just radiates through. So I appreciate your prayers for Oak Tree Church. And we just want to be lifting Jesus up and seeing him draw all men to himself. Would you pray with me this morning? Is it Brooke, would you come? Jesus, this morning we love you and our lives are completely consumed with you. We want to know you, Jesus. We want to make you known. And my greatest heart prayer, Jesus, is to lift you up so that you can draw men to yourself. It's not about me, Jesus. It's about you. And my greatest prayer this morning as I'm here that you will bless Grace Point Baptist Church. Lord, do some extraordinary things in this church that's on a hill. Be lifted up here, Jesus, so high you will draw all men to yourself. There are people in this community that desperately need you, Jesus. They desperately need you. And I pray you'll wrap your arms around this congregation and this body, and you'll build them up. You'll strengthen them. And you do something that's so God-sized that when everyone sees this, only God could have done that. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for their partnership with us. In the name of Jesus, amen.